Richard Neal, my very favorite, my congressman from the 1st District of Massachusetts, a Democrat in office since 1989, and one of the best spoken people in public service. Welcome, Richie. I'm so glad you're with us.
Thank you very much, Alan. Delighted to be with you.
Okay. So let's start with the thumbs down from McCain. What was your initial thought as you saw that?
I actually had had a get-together with the congressional delegation from Massachusetts the previous evening, or I'm sorry, just as they were getting prepared to go into the debate, the vote would have taken place the next morning, technically. But Ed Markey had no idea during the course of the conversation where things were going to go. And Senator McCain apparently did alert the White House that he was having second thoughts. And I think that Senator McConnell had finally run through all the procedures that were possible and decided that he would just take the risk and put it up for a vote. So when John McCain, after having given a pretty lofty criticism of operating procedures now in the Congress and as to what's happened in terms of polarization, and then he subsequently voted for what is known technically as a motion to proceed, I think people looked at that and said, well, is that not a bit inconsistent with the speech that you had just given, only to have him come to the conclusion that he would not allow the bill to advance, even though he did allow the argument to advance. So I think that it was a surprise. And at the same time, I also think that John McCain has served the country remarkably well. And I think that part of his pushback, obviously, was because he believes that the president, in many of these instances, is woefully unprepared for these pretty complicated policy debates.
Were you personally, forget about the politics of it, but were you personally gratified when you saw what happened?
I was very gratified, and the reason for it is twofold. There were a series of amendments and procedures that Senate Republicans went through, and all of that concluded with the following. On Friday morning, the United States Senate was asked to vote on an 8-page piece of bill writing that did not square with reality. It was simply based upon the word of the Speaker of the House that he would allow in a conference committee for a new bill to be written. That is a huge, I think, gamble to take with what is now 1/6 and quickly becoming 1/5 of the American economy, our health care system. So I know that people sometimes don't care for inside baseball, but that's where the real game remains to be played. And I think that in this instance, this was on a whim and a wish from Senator McConnell, only to have Senator McCain say that enough is enough. I am not going to go along with this.
And of course, he had to do with his governor. I mean, he was negotiating with his own governor, who was giving him advice. The governor didn't want the bill.
Well, that coupled with the fact, I think, that John Kasich, who served with me in the House, and I know very well, John Kasich indicated that in Ohio, that the expansion of Medicaid has worked quite well. Governor Sandoval, who was another Republican in Nevada, he indicated that Medicaid expansion has worked quite well. And I think in these cases that Senator Murkowski, Senator Collins, and Senator McCain all came to the same conclusion, and that was, if you're to repeal the Affordable Care Act, what in fact do you intend to replace it with? And the answer as of Friday morning was really not much.
Okay, so I've been sort of thinking about all this a little bit, always a dangerous thing. And I'm thinking, and Richie, you more than anybody else would be in a position to tell me whether I'm way off base or not. But going into Trump's presidency, the idea that we would have universal health care in this country was considered naive by many people. Yeah, we're not going to have it. Now, people have really had a look into what makes health care. We have a Medicare system that is so good that it defies me to think that what we couldn't do here is just expand Medicare a couple of years every time, and we would have universal health care. And I think if the House and the Senate were to go Democratic, you might have a shot.
Yeah, and I'm very open to that suggestion, incidentally. And when Medicare was established, and I think yesterday technically was the anniversary date of Lyndon Johnson signing the legislation, which he signed in Harry Truman's living room in Independence, Missouri, because, as you recall, Harry Truman had been the first president to call for universal
yes.
health care. And interestingly enough, on the Medicare front, when Johnson signed Medicare, which is an amendment to the Social Security Act, what's noteworthy is that that is the closest we've ever come to universal health care, and it's worked pretty well. Medicaid, when Lyndon Johnson subsequently signed that almost, again, simultaneously, Medicaid was a bit of an afterthought. And the idea was to provide health care to members of the American family who were outside the economic mainstream, and emphasizing the idea in particular of more preventive care. But in time, Medicaid has now become a larger subscriber in the American family than even Medicare. And there are 74 million Americans who in some shape or form derive a Medicaid benefit, including the fact that almost 62 cents on the Medicaid dollar is spent on nursing home care. There was a pretty fine piece in the New York Times over the weekend, as well as the Springfield Republican, on how now people hire Medicaid planners so that they might prepare for what nursing home care would look like. So it is not nearly as good a payer as Medicare, but it's equally reliable, even in the sense that as we celebrate the idea that we're living longer, we also have to acknowledge that in that same equation, that there's going to be more dementia and more Alzheimer's disease.
So do you think that Trump guessed wrong here, Richie? In other words, I don't think there's any doubt that part of his appeal to his base is the war on the poor, even though many people in his base should know better. And do you think he guessed wrong by attacking Medicare?
I do. And I think that if you recall, when we did the run-up to the Affordable Care Act, Senator McConnell said essentially that we were taking away from Medicare to give to Medicaid. There was no truth to that issue, but that's the argument that they made, and they were successful with it. Now, on the Trump front, as it relates to Medicaid, I think that the obsession here is equally with Barack Obama as opposed to the simple issue of the success we've had in expanding health care to 23 million members of the American family. And again, the idea was when the Affordable Care Act was signed that we would, at least on a experimental basis, keep the private sector alive for the purpose of offering discipline to price and then trying to figure out where we would go. Now, we knew all along that there were going to be challenges, particularly in the single market space, and that's really where 100% of the difficult stories are coming from. On an overall basis, the other parts of the expansion have worked quite well. And I think that if you listen to hospital administrators and others, the trade-off that they had was that as long as we offered the mandate, then they would be free to offer experimental opportunities for people as well on the Medicaid front. And for the moment, it's working.
But now what about, we only have a minute here, but the whole idea is to, with his executive powers, so he doesn't get his way in the Congress, he could destroy it with all of these executive edicts of his.
That's one of the most serious parts of it. He can now decide that he's not going to enforce the mandate, which is the glue that holds the Affordable Care Act together. And the second thing that he can do is he can hold back on what is known as the cost-sharing subsidies. And that would make it very difficult for those in the private sector and those hospitals and others who participated in the establishment of the ACA to make predictions based upon actual actuarial data that would help them look at what the budget will be going forward. So he does have some arbitrary tools at his command, but I also think that if you start to shave back the Medicaid benefit, there will be a political consequence.
Okay, I'm going to steal an extra minute here. But so he loses on all of this, but he's now saying, come back and do it again. Are you worried about that?
I think that that's more rhetoric than anything else. If there's anything that you can be sure of with Mitch McConnell, he's about as good a strategist as there is in the United States Senate. And when he says it's time to move on, I think that he has also, in the next breath, said he will not change the filibuster rule in the United States Senate. I don't see how they go forward.
Our good friend Richie Neal, Massachusetts' first Democrat, my congressman. Thank you very much, Richie.
Thank you, Alan.
We'll be back soon.